this is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. New gun laws are coming to Michigan, whether people support them or not. There's a stereotype of gun-toting Michiganders being actively against things like safe storage laws and universal background checks, but that actually may not be the case. Bridge Michigan Associate Editor Ron French has been following this issue. Ron, welcome to Mishmash.
Thanks for having me.
Ron, the National Rifle Association and some members of the Republican Party have really been railing against these bills that we've talked about several times on the show. But your recent piece for Bridge says that when it comes to regular gun owners, when they see these bills, they're kind of, in some cases, indifferent. In your piece, you wrote, the polls have shown support for increased gun restrictions, including a national poll of gun owners. So talk to us about how does this thinking of sort of the Lansing Republicans square with those rural Republicans that you talked to for your piece?
Both parties at times just reflexively react to different political issues in the ways that they think they're supposed to respond. I got to be honest. And so we went to several counties that have the highest rates of handgun ownership, or at least as you can measure it by the percent of adults with concealed carry permits. And they range from supportive to shrugging their shoulders over these things because they worry about crime too. And they think, well, maybe these things will work.
School shootings are always factoring into this conversation whenever we talk about guns. Michigan has two very recent ones with the Oxford High School shooting and then the very, very recent Michigan State University shooting. How do the people that you spoke with sort of square the school shootings with the idea of a lot of Democrats to increase gun restrictions as a means of prevention?
People I spoke to in these areas that have a lot more guns per person, perhaps, than in Washtenaw County, for example, they think it's a good thing if people who are criminals or perhaps have some mental issues do not have guns. They don't see it as a Second Amendment issue. They see it as a safety issue. And so they tend to be supportive of policies that would keep guns away from people who should not have them. And so when they look at an Oxford or a Michigan State, even if those specific cases would not have been stopped by these specific laws, they look at it as, well, it's worth a chance. It's worth a shot to try to avoid some of the violence.
It seems like what your piece really showed is something that I have heard from other, you know, gun owners who also consider themselves Democrats, which is that gun owners are in favor of other safe gun owners. And they are not necessarily against restrictions, even laws, that would require people to be more safe with their guns. So things like red flag laws, safe storage laws, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Shayna. I think the vast majority of gun owners are very safe with how they handle their weapons. And they want to make sure other people do too. They have no problem with a red flag law or a universal background check because they're law-abiding citizens in their minds, and they're not gonna, it's not gonna affect their lives. It's not gonna affect them owning or carrying a gun. And if it stops a few other people who shouldn't have guns from having them when they walk into a school, they're all for it.
You talk to people in what you call Michigan's gun belt. These are more rural areas of Michigan. And the people you talk to mention that people tend to think of them as rednecks. They realize that, and that a lot of them do carry concealed weapons. But they all seem to have pretty specific reasons for wanting to carry guns. It wasn't just a, well, it's my constitutional right, therefore I must have all the guns. They all seem to have pretty specific reasons. What are their reasons for wanting to carry guns?
Well, most people in this part of the state, Shayna, grew up around guns. They are rural. Maybe they grew up on a farm, or everyone in their family has always hunted at different times. So guns aren't a political issue for them. They're like a hammer. You know, I mean, it's just a tool that everyone has. They see guns as just something that people have. And people up north often look at wanting guns for a lot of the same reasons that some people in the southern part of the state want gun restrictions. They're worried about safety. And it to us, it may seem odd because crime rates are incredibly low in northern Michigan, in this part of the state. But they read the news, they see the internet, they get scared about crime as much as anyone else. And frankly, they live in areas where there aren't policemen three blocks away. They could be 20 miles away. And so they view it as a safety issue that they want to be able to protect themselves if they have to.
I want to shift gears and talk about a Lapeer librarian that has gotten a lot of attention recently, including national attention that you've reported on. The Lapeer County Prosecutor John Miller is contemplating charges against Library Director Amy Churchill because the library has a book called Gender Queer, a Memoir on its shelves. This is a very controversial book. It has been banned in many areas across the U.S., but Amy Churchill does not seem to be backing down. What is going on here?
Sure. This is a book that is a national award-winning book that was published a few years ago. And frankly, a fair number of libraries carry it because a lot of libraries look at award lists and purchase every book that's won awards. That's how this book got into a lot of libraries. And it has become a flashpoint in culture wars around the country. And it's been an issue in a lot of libraries around Michigan. This is the latest one. The difference here is that a prosecutor has stepped in and at least made suggestions that he would look at criminal charges against this if the library does not pull this book from the shelves.
What are Prosecutor Miller's chances of success in this threat based on the legal experts that you have spoken with?
I'd say zero. And I'm being a little generous with that. No, this is all a threat. And I know people and respect people who feel this is not a book that should be on library shelves in any place that a child may see it. I get that. But there is no law against having this book on a shelf. It was being shelved on in an adult section anyway. But no, there's no legal standing. The law he was citing has to do is usually used in cases where police are arresting people who are enticing young people, generally on the internet, to meet them for immoral reasons. It's never been used in this way. I never found any legal expert who thought that this has a chance to succeed.
So why is Miller continuing with this? Is this sort of something that got away from him? Like he threatened it and now he's like, oh no, I can't, you know, pull back on this. Is it just a intimidation tactic, I guess? What are you seeing as far as his reasoning and how far he's willing to take this?
Right. Well, he was elected this past year, and he is a conservative Republican, and a lot of conservative Republicans came in on that wave in Lapeer County, a lot like on the other side of the state, Ottawa County went very Republican. And I think that in the circles that he runs in, this is seen as something that is really harming children. And so he feels he wants to do whatever he can to safeguard children. He has tried to walk this back since Bridge wrote a story about him threatening to charge the librarian. He's saying, oh, no, that was taken out of context. I'm not sure what the context would be. I kept asking him over and over again, you're telling me you're considering charges. Yes, I am. But he's tried to walk that back now. I think he realizes it's untenable legally. But from his point of view, in the political circles that he runs in, I think it's a point of view that is very acceptable to think that these are things that are hurting children.
Before we head out, Attorney General Dana Nessel is fighting to keep documents in a couple high-profile cases secret. What are the cases that people want to know more about and that Nessel is saying, yeah, we got to keep these under lock and key for now?
Yeah, there were two cases at least. It's very unclear how many times she's used this, but the two cases are one is the several of the criminal cases of people who were charged with attempted kidnapping of Governor Whitmer. And the other is the state police and attorney general investigation of possible wrongdoing by former Speaker of the House, Lee Chatfield. Mr. Chatfield has not been charged with any crimes, but there is an ongoing investigation. And in both those cases, Dana Nessel's office has taken some pretty extraordinary steps to keep secret what are called the affidavits connected to search warrants. Okay. Search warrants themselves usually don't say a lot, but each search warrant has to have an affidavit from usually a police officer saying why this search is legitimate. And then there's usually interesting information in there. By state law, that information is supposed to be public after 56 days. But police and prosecutors are allowed to ask for extensions, for as many extensions as they want. It's very rarely asked for. But in these highly politicized cases, Dana Nessel, who has made a big public, a lot of public statements about transparency, how she's very much a proponent of transparency in public government. She's gone to pretty extraordinary steps to keep these records secret.
And what is her reasoning for that? Has she come out and said exactly why these documents should be kept secret?
The statements that she gave to Bridge and to the Detroit Free Press, who worked on this story together, was that these are ongoing investigations. Well, most of the cases are ongoing when search warrants, affidavits, you know, at 56 days after they're filed. And she doesn't make a deal about those. So we're not sure exactly why these particular cases she has taken these steps. We're continuing to consider some legal battles with her to try to get those documents out to the public.
Ron French is an associate editor for Bridge, Michigan. Ron, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here today with us on Mishmash.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks again to our guest, Ron French from Bridge, Michigan. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and the person who I really hope to be like when I grow up, Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, and our podcast interns are Ashley Harris, Patrick Burness, and Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this podcast and you want to support it, and we really hope you do, you can do so by leaving us a review, or you can also support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. Everything that you give is really vital to helping WDET support programs like this one. Again, that's wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.